Okay, we're moving forward. So the Ramah has a footnote here, very interesting. We have a few places in Shulchan Aruch where the Ramah and the Shulchan Aruch and the Beit Yosef quote the commentary of the Radak on Tanakh. The Radak is Rav David from the city of Kimchi. I think it's the city of Kimchi. He calls him Rabbi David Mikimchi, so I assume it means it's the place. And he explains that a person can take a sign. And he argues with the Rambam that Radak agrees with the Ravid. The Radak says, like the Ravad, that a person can say, I want the following sign to show me what I'm supposed to do. So the Radak goes like the Ravid. The Radak says, the Talmud says, if you're on your way and a deer crosses your path, and then you say, I won't do it because the deer crossed my path, that you're not allowed to do. But before you go, you're allowed to say, I'm only going to do this if A or B or C happens. So we have this diametrically opposed machloket, where Rav Yosef, the Rambam, says, you're not allowed to say in advance, Rabbon Shom, I want sign A or B or C in order for me to do it. And the Ravid and the Radak say, yes, you are. And the Radak adds a point, and he says, the Talmud's examples were all where the action already happened. Your kid called you from behind, so you say, oh no, I can't continue this job. I won't get it right because the kid called me from behind me. So that's the Radak's approach, like the Ravid, that you are allowed to make a sign. You are, according to the Ravid and the Radak, I'm allowed to say, Rabbon Shalom, let this happen, and then I'll know I'm supposed to do it.
How's that after the fact? Because any situation where your kid calls you from the back, you're going to say that. So you said
again,
contingency beforehand.
No. I don't know what the Radak would say if you start working and you say, I'm going to build this closet. Unless my kid calls me from behind, then I'll know that I'm not supposed to build it.
You said it already in your mind.
I hear. I hear. You still see there's this difference. There is this distinction between defining a sign beforehand and responding after the fact and saying, this must be a sign like that.
I guess, yeah, like Eliezer clearly defined it beforehand.
The tour told us there are exceptions. He said a person can look at the new house he bought, the wife he bought, the new baby that was born, and what transpired afterwards is a sign. So that's actually a line in Talmud over there in the Talmud in Tractate Chulin says that these three can be viewed as a sign.
In that case, they're not.
Wait a second. And the Talmud over there adds, you have to have three times. Meaning, if a person built a new house, or had a new baby, or married a new wife, even though you're not allowed to say in advance, A or B are a sign, a person can look at something and say, this is a sign. That if right after he marries his wife, his stocks go up and he sells, I don't think it counts if the stocks went up and you didn't sell, or they went down and you didn't sell. But your business goes up. Or a person built a house, or a person had a baby. So that's a sign that he will continue succeeding. And if not, so then maybe you shouldn't continue pursuing that line of business. Maybe it is a good sign that this isn't the business for you. But the Gemara adds a clause. You have to have three consecutive successes in order for it to be considered a sign. Your stocks have to go up three times in a row, and I guess you'd have to sell each time. You buy a stock, it goes up, you sell. You buy a stock, it goes up, you sell. You buy a stock, it goes up, you sell. That's a sign.
As an indicator of what?
That ever since you married this wife, or ever since you built this house, you're on a path to success. I was curious whether I should buy stocks after I married my wife. To do this, I'm saying I was in yeshiva. What business did I have, right? So I wasn't sure. Maybe I should do this, check out the sign. But I didn't. I didn't bother. The Rambam writes that a baby is not the way Rashi explained. After a baby's born, you see your new luck. whether now things are going to go well for you. Rambam says, you ask a child, tell me a pasuk you just learned, and if the child tells you a positive pasuk, it's a positive sign. So that's two interpretations as to what the Talmud means, a child is a sign. Rambam seems to say that these are not signs to tell you, like Rashi says, should I continue this business? But rather, they're showing you in the past, whether you you succeeded or not. Rambam writes like this, if a person says, I built this house, so it's a good sign for me. I married this wife. I bought this animal. Rambam adds something that the Gemara didn't tell us. It's been a blessing since I bought it. I got wealthy. Or if a person says, I asked the child and he told me the pasuk and he told me a good pasuk, now I could be happy, it's a good sign. That's allowed. You're allowed to look at your marriage and say, ever since I got married, my business has been blossoming, my wife brought me blessings, I'm happy. That you're allowed to do. Rambam learns it's all about attitude, not deciding your actions. You could say, ever since I built this house, life has been better for me financially, my business has been prospering. Rambam says, even though ordinarily we don't talk about signs, this is okay. So Rambam says it's on your attitude. You can choose to be happy over these things. And that's not called a prohibited superstition. Rambam says, because you didn't do any action based on that. If you would say, oh, I married my wife, my stocks went up, now I can do anything. I'm going to buy more stocks, invest in more businesses. That's prohibited, says Rambam. You're not allowed to take a sign and say, based on this, I'll do an action. You are allowed to take a sign and be happy. You can say, ever since I married this woman, business has been booming. Baruch Hashem, she brought blessings to my life. Fine, you could say that. You could be happy about that. But don't make any actions based
same
on that.
With the negative.
Ever since I came to Mahon, I felt my pride in being Jewish returned.
But that's logical.
Negative sense.
Right. No one talks about the negative. Isn't that interesting? Rashi mentioned the negative. Rambam doesn't. I don't know. I guess Rambam
like
isn't
said,
a fan, right?
With a marriage or something big, right. A big life event that's dangerous.
Right. So the Beis Yosef says, I have a difficulty with what we've just learned, because the Talmud over there records that Rabbi Yochanan wanted to travel to Babylon to greet Shmuel. And he asked the child, tell me your pasuk. And the child told him the pasuk, Ushmuel mit. Shmuel passed away. So Rabbi Yochanan said, okay, I'm not going. If that's the pasuk, I'm not going. So the Beis Yosef says, wait a second, how does Rambam understand that? Rambam said, you can ask a kid for his pasuk, because it might make you happy, and that's okay, you can be happy with it, but don't decide. Talmud tells us that Rabbi Yochanan did decide based on that.
No, but he didn't make a sign if the kid says something. He didn't say, notice how he doesn't say before. He said, if the kid tells me something good, then I'll go, and if not, then I'm staying.
Right, so that's what Rabbi Yosef Karo wants to answer. He says, what Rabbi Yochanan understood from the pasuk is that in past tense, Shmuel had already passed away. He understood that it probably didn't make sense to travel to Babylon. He wasn't sure if Shmuel was still alive or not. When the child tells him this pasuk, he said, never mind, I won't go. He did an action, but being that he didn't ask the kid, should I go to Babylon or not? So that's not considered that he decided that he asked the kid. Because of the kid's answer. But Rav Yosef Karo is looking for an answer, meaning at the end of the day, he asked the question. He says, maybe because he didn't ask the kid with that in mind, or he was trying to figure out past tense if Shmuel was still alive or not. Then he says, but we have another line in Talmud, in Tractate Gittin. We have the story of Rav Sheshes, that he was about to do something, and he asked the child his pasuk, and the child told him a pasuk that he understood to mean it's a bad idea to do what he was about to do. So the pasuk says, turn to your right or turn to your left. So he understood that to mean don't go the path you were thinking to go on. So how come Rav Sheshes decided based on a child? So he says, you could say that that's different, that he was concerned for other reasons and he wasn't sure whether to give weight to his concerns, and he decided together with that. It says over there that he had reason to be concerned. He was blind, and he was scared the people he was dealing with were dishonest. He wasn't sure whether he should go into business with them. He wasn't sure. And then the kid, he asked the kid, what pasuk are you learning? And the kid told him a pasuk, turn to the right, turn to the left, don't take this path. So he said, okay, never mind, I'm not doing the deal with them. But you see, he was concerned beforehand. But we would ask, so anytime I'm concerned, I'm allowed to make such a sign? According to Rambam, and according to Ravid, we understand you're allowed to. What about Rambam? He says you have to realize that there is a disciple of the Rambam called Sefer Mitzvos HaGadol, and he says we find that there were giant people in Jewish history who felt that when they ask a child, what pasuk did you learn? That's half prophecy, and they listen to it. And that's all he says. Now, this is a disciple of the Rambam. He wasn't a direct disciple, but he went in the way of the Rambam. So he says, you do see, we give it a certain weight. And that's why the smag, Sefer Mitzvos Gadol, is really telling us that if you give weight to a child saying a pasuk, what you're really saying is, this isn't superstition, we believe it's a form of prophecy. That's the answer Smag gave us. So what did we learn so far before we go to the bottom line? What did we learn? We learned Rambam Ravid disagreeing about whether I'm allowed to make a sign in advance. Where the Ravid said, so long as it's in advance, I'm entitled to make a sign. I'm entitled to say, if A happens, I'll do B. Rambam says, no, you're not. You're never allowed to change your course of action because of a sign. And then we said, what about that which the Talmud says, a house, a wife, a baby are a sign? Rambam says that means you're allowed to be happy based on that. Rashi doesn't go that route. Rashi says you'll decide based on that sign whether you should continue this course of business. So here again we have this argument. And finally, Beis Yosef himself asked, well, how come we have examples of rabbis making decisions based on kids saying verses? And he quoted the Smag. He said they considered that a mini prophecy. That with that we finished the...
How did the rabbis decide which kid to ask?
That's a great question. I don't know. I don't know if there's a trick to knowing which kid to ask. And the kid better have learned many psukim, not just the same one, you know. Some kids will always tell you the same pasuk.
Is it the pasuk of his birthday?
No, it's the pasuk he had just learned that day. Okay, so now we turn to the Shulchan Aruch. Says the Shulchan Aruch, if a person says, my bread fell out of my mouth, my stick fell out of my hand, my child called me from behind, a deer crossed my path, or a snake passed on his right side, or a fox on his left side, and he says, that's a sign I shouldn't go on this route, or I shouldn't start the task I was about to start, so that's prohibited. That's the prohibition of Lotin Achshu. So far, same as the tour, that's what it says in the Gemara. If a person looks at the chulda, some type of weasel, the birds, or the stars, he's going against Ramban. He's saying you don't, looking at the stars is prohibited. So he's going with Rambam. He's saying, I'm not allowed to say, just because the stargazers say, it's a bad idea to do this work today, so I won't do it today. Ramban said, I'll wait till tomorrow. Why should I go against the stars? Rambam said, no way. You're not allowed to decide based on that. Shulchan Aruch is going with Rambam. And the person who says, don't collect from me in the morning. I've just started my business. I don't want to pay. I need to make money now. It's a bad sign if I start my day paying. Or a person that says, it's Matzei Shabbos. I just started the work week. I got to make money. I can't pay money. Or a person that says, it's just the beginning of the month. I shouldn't be paying money right now. Pay me, don't collect from me. A person says, slaughter that rooster. He's going against the Rav Yehuda Chassid. He's saying, you're not allowed to say that hen crowed like a rooster. I'm slaughtering it. After all his explanations, he says, asur. So Shulchan Aruch is very strong. All of this is prohibited, says the Shulchan Aruch. All the excuses he gave us, he doesn't, halacha lemaise, he doesn't buy into them. No, you can't do that. He goes with the Rambam all the way, so far. And then the Rama disagrees. The Rama says, I want you to know, there is an opinion that says that so long as you don't declare, slaughter it because he crowed like a male, you just say slaughter it, that's mutar. That's what we saw in the response of the Ma'aril. And that's the custom, says the Ramah. It wasn't only in Germany where the Ma'aril lived that people would do that. Says the Ramah, out here in Krakow, in Poland, that's what people do. If they hear the bird crow like a male, they do it. Now that's mind-boggling. Because Shulchan Aruch says it's an issud d'oraita. It's a biblical prohibition. Rama says our custom is not like that.
Maybe it meant that the animal had a bad disease or something.
No problem if someone would say it, but that's not what they say. So now the Taz says, can we take it the next step? What happens if a person sees a black cat cross his path and says, God, I won't go down that path, but he doesn't say it, he thinks it.
That's the same.
He says, could we do the same thing? Well, we say that so long as you didn't say it, you're allowed to do it. He says, I don't think so. He says, over here, you saw something unnatural. So you get scared. Your rooster, your hen has a bad voice. It sounds scary. So that's why they thought there was something wrong with this chicken. They said, get rid of it. But all the other ones, there's nothing, yeah, all the other ones, there's nothing unnatural. So he says, even though they were lenient, for whatever reason, they allowed people to continue this custom of slaughtering the chicken that made a funny noise when it crowed, but that does not allow us in any of the other circumstances to say, I'll do it, I just won't say why I'm doing it. You know, I once used the broken mirror. I was in yeshiva, and I wanted to check, I guess, my tefillin or whatever. So I used the mirror that was broken. So my roommate goes, don't use a broken mirror. I said, why not? He says, it's a bad omen to use a broken mirror. I said, I don't know. What's wrong with the broken mirror? He says, no, it's a bad omen. I said, okay, you convinced me. He says, what? I said, from now on, I'm only using that mirror. That's, I don't buy that.
Wait, who said they're only using it from now on?
Me.
The broken one?
Yeah.
He said he convinced you.
He convinced me to do it. There's one Rabban Shom. I need him to take care of me. Everything else will fall into place. Okay, so that was point one. Okay. Okay, let's move forward. The Shach says, nowadays, now the Shach is a commentary on Shulchan Aruch, Ashkenazim accepted the Shach almost like the Ramah. Very often we go with the Shach over the Ramah. The Shach says, today, people say it overtly. You'll hear people all the time saying, slaughter that bird, crowed like a male. And they do it. And they consider that okay. Shach says, that's our custom today. Must be they go with one of the other answers the Beis Yosef brought. Okay, so we move forward. That's our Shach. That is our Shach. Says the Gra. You guys ready? Gra, powerhouse. Along comes Rabbi Elio from Vilna, the genius, and says, V'dvarav kashim kachomets lashinayim. These explanations are as bad as drinking vinegar and thinking it'll help your teeth. It'll destroy your teeth. Lousy explanation, says the Gra. I don't like any of this. Lignov dat amakom. You think you're tricking God? I just won't say that's why I'm doing it. God says, don't do it because you think it crowed like a male. And you're going to say, I'll do it, but I won't say that's why I'm doing it. And that's okay, says the Gra. It doesn't work that way. Who are you tricking? You're playing games with God? Says the Gra. But the only excuse is if you go like the Ma'aril writes, that the Ma'aril writes that some people had the version in the Talmud that says that's permissible, that's not considered pagan, like you were suggesting all along. That means there must have been a natural reason they thought there's something going quacky with this bird, excuse the pun, so we have to slaughter it. He's starting to crow funny. Maybe he's coming down with something. Let's slaughter him before he gets everyone else sick. So that's okay. He says, you can't give me other excuses. The Gra says, the only thing that makes sense is to say they had a different line in Talmud. We know there were two versions. That according to one version, the Talmud says, it's okay to slaughter the bird over that. And he says, this is the version Rashi had. And this is the version that Rashba had. And this is the version other commentaries had, that in their line in Talmud it said, you're allowed to slaughter that bird. And then what the Talmud's saying is, it's not superstition, there's a logic behind it. That's why it's permissible. The Gra says that's the only answer that works. Okay, now we move forward. We said that a house, a baby, and a wife are considered a sign. That's not considered superstition. That's considered a sign. So that, the Shulchan Aruch again paskens. So, what does that mean? He doesn't explain. So says the Ramah. The Ramah says, if you have three successes after getting married, it's a sign your business is going to boom after this marriage. Three times. If you have three successes after building a new house, or after a new baby was born, and if not, also not. It's very interesting because my grandmother used to tell us that every baby brings its luck. And there's a saying that people like to say, that every baby brings its blessing in Parnassa. People say, how could I manage? I'm barely making ends meet with two kids. What'll happen with the third? So people like to quote this halfway. Every baby brings its blessing. Well, the Talmud didn't exactly say that. The Talmud said every baby brings its luck. And it could be that your first five brought you better parnasa, and your sixth, oh boy. That's what the Talmud says. That's what the Shulchan Aruch says. It doesn't say it's necessarily good. It says it's a sign. Again, according to Rashi's interpretation. Going with Rashi.
Necessarily each baby has some kind of fortune too?
I don't know. I don't know if every baby has its fortune. I agree with you. I mean, it could be that first time his stocks went up and he sold. Then he bought the next stock and it went down and he sold. So then he has no chazakah. Rashi said it's only three times. So it could be that that baby didn't show you what its mazel is. I don't know. I don't know if every baby has its mazel. Maybe, I don't know.
If it's more than the other ones, then it's less than a circuit.
I don't know. Okay, so that's the Mechaber. The Ramah says, "V'chein mutal le'omar le'tinok psok li'psukha." You're also allowed to ask a child, "What's your pasuk?" That's going with Rambam's interpretation that it's not after a new baby is born that you have new mazel. But Rambam says asking a baby for his verse is what's permitted. And finally he says, Yesh Omrim, the Ramah concludes our topic. The Shulchan Aruch did not permit or prohibit making deals with God. The Shulchan Aruch didn't say, am I allowed to say to Hashem, give me a sign, or if this sign works or not. So the Shulchan Aruch didn't give us a bottom line in the Machloket Rambam Ravid. The Shulchan Aruch didn't tell us, is it okay to tell Hashem, if A happens, I will do B. The Ramah says, there are those who have the opinion that you're allowed to make a sign about something that would happen in the future, going with the Radak. I'm not making a deal on the past, I'm making a deal on the future, the way Eliezer did, and the way Yonatan did. And then says the Ramah, v'yesh osrim, and there are those who say it's prohibited, Rambam and his disciples. And the Ramah doesn't give us a bottom line, he gives a recommendation. He says, v'olech betom uvotech b'shem chesed yisov evenu. And a person who goes and says, I'm whole with Hashem, and whatever Hashem does is fine by me, he will have Hashem's kindness. Don't try to figure it out. That's the Ramah's recommendation. But he doesn't give us a bottom line which way. He says, you have two opinions, One says it's prohibited and one says it isn't. Now, I don't understand this. Little old me does not understand. Because if I have two opinions whether something is biblically prohibited, shouldn't my answer be don't do it? According to Rambam and Smag, it's a biblical prohibition. Why do I give any validity to the other opinion? Okay, so there's another opinion. But how could I do something that I don't have anyone that gives me a bottom line ruling it's permitted? All I have is a machloket dating back 800 years ago, and according to Rambam, it's an issur d'oraisa. So to my mind, the Rama's gentle conclusion, hey, it's not recommended, is on the contrary, showing that the Rama is giving a lot of validity to the opinion that says it's permissible. The Rama should have said, if he really held that it's an equal argument, he should have said, so don't do it, buddy. The Rama doesn't say that. He says, look, the way a Jew should behave is not like this. It makes it sound like, if you do it, I can't tell you you're doing something wrong. I can tell you it's not the way we'd like you to be behaving. That's way gentler than I would have thought to say it. So now we look at the Gra. Says the Gra. The commentaries all ask on the Rambam. You see that Rabbi Yochanan asked the baby, and based on the verse, he said he didn't go to Babylon. You have other examples of this. He gives more examples throughout the Shas. So he says it doesn't look like the Rambam, because you have examples in Shas where they asked the child and they made decisions based on it. So it seems like the Ravid said that the Talmud was just saying you want to do it, you have to do it in a decisive way. That you give a clear sign and you say, based on this, I'll do that. But not that the Talmud was saying that's prohibited. It seems like the Ravid explained. You're not allowed to say, because a black cat walked here, I won't go there, because it already happened. But you are allowed to say, Rabon Shalom, if A happens, I'll do B. The Gra says we have too many examples in Shas that's okay. If a person says, she offered me a drink, she must be my wife, that's foolish. That's why the Talmud says you have to make your condition in advance. If she's the right girl, then she will show up to the date with a green dress and brown polka dots. She will wear a baseball cap that will say, I am not a Mets fan. You know, you make a clear sign, and when she shows up to the date like that, you can propose, and she'll pour the cup of water in your face and say, you haven't yet met me. Why do you think I'm going to marry you? So, okay, you want to make a clear sign? Fine. You can do that. But if you're going to try to figure out signs after the fact, that doesn't work. So when the Talmud says you want to make a sign, you have to do it like Yonatan did and like Eliezer did, the Talmud wasn't saying it's prohibited. The Talmud was saying, you want a sign that'll work? Well, that's the only way to do it. Define the sign beforehand. But on the contrary, it sounds like it's permissible, says the Gra. And when the Talmud says, and this goes in line with your reasoning, that a wife, a baby, and a house, they're considered a sign, but the Talmud is telling you, even though you didn't make that stipulation in advance, you got married, your first three business deals were a smashing success, that's a sign even if you didn't make that deal with God in advance. And he says, the Gra says, that's the answer that works. It's always recommended not to work this way. You know, be whole with Hashem and put your trust in Him. But the Gra certainly sides with the other opinion. And in my humble opinion, even the Rama did not exactly give equal weight to both sides. If he held they were equal weight, I would have expected the Rama to say, don't do this. You're playing with fire. And he doesn't say that. He says it's not recommended. That's a very gentle term. Okay, there's more, obviously. We didn't go through all the commentaries, but I think we came up with a pretty good understanding of what the opinions and pros and cons are.